We thank you for this special occasion, a time to rejoice, a time to be grateful, a time to reflect, a time to renew our commitment with you, and a time to receive from you afresh. Lord, this morning, visit us once again and minister to us from the throne of grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Put your hands together, Father. Lord, as you sit down. This morning, I want to bring special greetings to our final year brethren. Hearty congratulations. There was the story of Mount Everest, that for a long time it was difficult to conquer, and at the end of the day, when Mount Everest was conquered, a story was written that in the attempt to conquer Mount Everest, many drew by, many were discouraged, many died, but at the end of the day, Mount Everest was conquered. In the course of coming to the university, after gaining the admission, many drew back, many fell back, some even died, others could not make it. But today, you have made it. Put hands together for the Lord. So we celebrate you today. We have come as a church to celebrate our final year brethren. And I will speak it to you shortly on what I call rooted in Bethel. Rooted in Bethel. I will take my text from the book of Psalm 92, verse 13. Rooted in Bethel, taking my text from Psalm 92 verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall do what? Flourish in the courts of our Lord. Remember in our anniversary, O Lord God of Bethel. And we said Bethel is the house of God. Bethel is the gate of heaven. Bethel is the presence of God. Thank God you are done with university. Thank God you are done with your program. Thank God we are done with your degree. But you must never be done with God. What am I saying? You must never be done with God. Even though I am talking to final year brethren, I'm talking to everybody as well. We are told in the Bible that Bethel is the presence of the Lord. And God is saying, those who are planted in the house of the Lord is those that will flourish. I know many of you have dreams for tomorrow. You have great vision. You have ambition. You have pursuit. Some will want to jackpot. But listen to me. Those who are planted in the house of God, those who are rooted in Bethel, they are those who are ready to flourish. See, Bethel is not just an experience, supposed to be a lifestyle. I want to plead with you. Anywhere you go, know that you are expected to be rooted in Bethel. If you realize, you agree, and you know that Bethel is the house of God, is the presence of God, is the gate of heaven. Look at something quickly. Let's go back to that text that we used in Genesis chapter 28, verse 19 to 22, quickly. And please, I want the media to be fast because I don't have much time this morning. Genesis chapter 28, because we have a lot of things to do. Verse 19 to 22. So go back to that passage, that text. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been lost previously. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. Verse 20-21. So that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Verse 22. So the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Now, when you look at what happened here, Jacob made a commitment. He was under the protection of the father, under the love of the mother. He was facing the river for the first time. But the first stop, the first encounter was at Bethel. And he made three commitments. If God will be with me, and God will be with you. I say to you, God will be with you. And will keep me in all my ways, God will keep you. And he will provide food for me and clothes. That means if God will take care of me, and God will take care of you. He then made a commitment. He was ready to be rooted in bed. He said that, number one, he said that this house, he said that this God will be my. First of all, he made a commitment to God. Number two, he said that this stone, which is for my pillow that I've anointed, shall be the house of God. That means he also made a commitment to fellowship. And number three, he said that I will give a tenth of everything that God will give. That means he also made a commitment to a life of giving. And those three things is what every one of us should hold if you want to go ahead in life, you want to flourish. Number one, you must have a commitment to God, personalize God. This God will be my God. There is God in Cedar. There's God of the Bible. There's God of Israel. But you see your God. You must make a commitment every day of my life, everywhere I go, wherever I find myself. This God of Israel shall be my God. Yes, people know him as God of Abraham. They know him as God of Isaac. They know him as God of Jacob. But he will also be my God. But you see, people follow God of Israel. They follow God of Abraham. They follow God of Jacob. They follow God of Isaac, but it's not their God. But Jacob said, this God will be my God. I'm speaking unto this morning. Make a commitment, not only for Naya brethren, every one of us, that every day of our life, this God will be my God. And secondly, he made a commitment to service, that I've anointed this pillar. It shall be the house of God. Never be busy pursuing things of life that don't have time for fellowship. Because we are looking for a job, because we are looking for promotion, because we are looking for husband, because we are looking for a wife, because we are looking for placement, there's no time for God. You give excuses. Not only, this is not for only for final bread. Those of us who are adults, how many of us come for Bible study? How many do we see weekly service? We are too busy for God. That means there is no commitment to service. And Jacob said, he made three commitments. The first thing is to personalize God in his life. The second thing is to make a commitment to service.
Please, don't let anything take service from you. Anywhere you go, no matter how busy you might be, no matter the pressures of life, you are single now, you get married, you have children, you have husband, you have work, responsibility will pile up, but will this take you away from fellowship? Will this blessing be an excuse where you are not going to be able to serve God? That time will come. You have a load of responsibility. And common sense of man, not of his spirit, will tell you, deal with this as well. If God will understand. Make a commitment to service as we are going. Because those who are planted in the house of the Lord will do what? Flush the court of our Lord. And number three, he said, everything that you give me, I will give a tithe. He made a comment to giving. My dear brother, my dear sister, as you go into the reward, don't stop giving. Give time for God. Give attention to the name of God. Give resources to God. Make a commitment to giving to the Lord. And you see, when Jacob made this commitment, the Lord took him up on it. And see, when you are rooted in Bethel, your life is made. You have nothing to fear. Not because there won't be challenges, but you know what? Anytime there is challenge, all you need to do is to renew your covenant in Bethel. And anytime there are issues in life and you want to advance, anytime you need progress, the only thing you need to do, if you are rooted in Bethel, is to go back and then renew that covenant. You know, let me just show all this quickly. If you go to Genesis chapter 30, let's just read verse 30. Genesis chapter 30, verse 30 quickly. Can you please project for Genesis chapter 30, verse 30? Okay, let me read from here. For what you had before I came, for what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Now, we have going to the second part. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? Jacob, at this time, was facing a challenging time in his life. Remember, he had made that coming, he had left. Just like I'm challenging you this morning to make that commitment before you go. But the fact that you made that commitment does not mean there will be challenges. But that commitment you have made is the solution to the challenge. Any challenge you face in life, the commitment you make is the solution to that challenge. A time came in the life of Jacob. Things were not going well. Do you know what? If you read that passage aloud, because of time, I didn't want to go. He said that Laban changed his wage 10 times. Did you read it in your Bible? 10 solid times. Not once, not twice, not three, not thrice, not four times, not five, six, 10 times. Remember how many, can imagine how many disappointments he faced. He was disappointed 10 solid times. And the man that disappointed him was the man that should even encourage him. The man that should be a source of encouragement in his life was the source of his problem. See, if you are looking for expert 419, Laban was one. He freezed him not just one time. He cheated not two times. Can you imagine? He was a serial fraudster. More ski than any Yahoo. 10 times. And the only thing that Jacob did at that time was to begin to complain. Let me tell you something. Our challenge is not the bad governance. Our challenge is about our connection with Bethel. Now, how did God answer Jacob? When the economy turned upside down, when the weather became rough, when things didn't happen the way it should happen. Let me tell you something. In life, several times, and go and write it down. So for occasionally, you may be served cold breakfast. Is somebody listening to me? No matter how much you try, no matter how good you are, no matter how dedicated you are, no matter how prayerful you are, no matter the kind of grace, the promise you carry on your head, sometimes in life you will be served cold breakfast. Here, Jacob was served cold breakfast. And he complained, he murmured, he grumbled. But what was the response of God? Go with me to chapter 31 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 31, read verse 13. Quickly. Genesis chapter 31, read verse 13. Genesis 31, verse 13. Look at God. Did it, see what you were expected? Maybe Jacob would be expecting, maybe God will deal with Laban, God will do another thing, God will show him. Because I am the God of Bethel. Where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land. God referred him back to Bethel. See, that I said that you have to be rooted where? Rooted where? Rooted where? When the storms of life arise, when you are faced with cold breakfast, when you are faced with challenges, issue of life, the thing to do is to go back to Bethel. But in Bethel, make those three commitments. Once those commitments are there, solid, you have no problem. The only thing God did was not to answer to his complaint, but he turned him back to Bethel. And after that, when he went, because of my time, I want to jump. What happened? Let's go quickly to Genesis chapter 32, verse 26. After he had gone back to Bethel, because he was complaining, God said, stop complaining. You are a child of covenant. You have a commitment with me. You have a covenant. Go back and renew it. And look at what happened after Genesis chapter 32, verse 20, quickly. And he said, after he had gone back, then he had another encounter with God. And this time around, an angel wrestled him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, let me try to understand and let you understand the trajectory. Where Jacob started from, well, where he said, just take care of me. Are you listening to me? Everything was about himself. Just like when you are in the university, God, I want to pass the exam. God, I want to graduate. Everything was just about you leaving the university. Everything was about yourself. But very soon now, you have husband, you have wife. That's when you come and say, God, how will I? You won't take prayer for yourself. The prayer will go beyond yourself. Am I right? That's what Jacob was saying. When he said, when will I provide for my own? Initially, he was not thinking of household, though. In Genesis 28, he was only thinking about himself. His prayer was only about himself. But when he got to the house of Laban, what was he asking for? Where will I provide for my own? And he was thinking of how the wages will increase. But when he got here, God promoted him. He had a better understanding. He was not only thinking about just about himself. He was not just thinking about how he wanted to provide for his household, but was thinking how he will be blessed. Let me tell you something.
When you are rooted in Bethel, your mentality will not be that of wage increase. Your mentality will be the vision of blessing. All along, what Jacob was having about wage increase. No, there are times that even when he was looking for wage increase, God will increase his wage anyway. Says you know, cut and you put a stick. Remember when the animals were mating. And I want to say again, when you are rooted in Bethel, you know that your challenge is not about the bad governance in the country. It's not about the bad economy. It's about your contact with Bethel. Because that's where there is favor. That's where there is grace. That's where there is contact. That's where there is connection. That's where there is opening. That's where there is promotion. That's where there is breakthrough. He said, bless me. I'm not asking you to take care of me. I'm not asking you to provide for my house. But I will not let you go unless you bless me. His mentality was no longer that of wage increase. Now with this fuel subsidy remover, what everybody is looking for, the Nigerian Labour Congress is looking for, is wage increase. I also want wage increase. But let me tell you, no matter how much they increase the wage, it's only a temporary circle, two of us. When the wage was increased to 30,000 minimum, people are shouting. My brother, my friend, and my co-liberal, Pastor Wote, remember when we were still young as academics, my wife is laughing now. The first time Obasanjo came to power, he increased the salary of academics. We were poorer than the church rats then. And the first time he gave up some that look like a big salary, I can't remember how much was that salary then? 80,000 naira. 80,000 naira. And my wife was there, but when we went to buy, we collected it. And we brought it, we were staying together in my house in row 20. We threw the money on the bed and we jumped. It was a big, 18,000 naira was big money. Because we were handing just as a senior job, less than 5,000 naira. How much? Professor was handing 10,000. Five chancellor was handing 11,000. My own salary was 5,000 naira. And now, how old is 18,000 naira? I heard Professor Awotoye, I took my wife, we got to my house, we threw the money on the bed, and we jumped. But Pastor, remember, I told him, remember, I said, after 1 year, this salary will be nothing. If everybody is wise, let him quickly do whatever I want to do with this money now. Remember, I said it. It was like a prophecy. See, when your mentality is about wage increase, you don't understand your covenant in Bethel. Your vision should be about blessing. So you can be a lecturer handing 150,000 naira in a month. God can give you a project of 50 million naira. You can be a civil servant handing 100,000 naira a month. God can give you a business that will be 5 million naira. But the most important is your connection, your root in Bethel. God, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. So, my dear brother, my sister, what am I saying this morning? Remember, in your mind, let us know that when we are having an anniversary, I say, come and have the better experience. No, yes, yes, no. It's an experience, good, but you go beyond the experience, it should be a lifestyle. There must be a permanency of better. If you ask people who go out abroad, either to America or Canada, they will tell you when you get there, you have maybe three kind of visa or stay. You can be, when you get there, you can go there as a tourist or visitor. Even when you are there as a visitor, you can get work permit. Later, you can ask for permanent residency, and later you are coming for citizenship. So, what we are, men, are you in Bethel as a tourist?
So you come to the house of God, come to the presence of God. You can come there as tourists, you can come there as visitor. But God wants us to take permanent residency in. In where? In where? In where? I know it's good to look for PR in other countries, but get PR in better. Those of you who are Fanayana, I know somebody want to Japan. Before you go and look for any PR, you see, blessing comes from God. It's good sometimes to change location, but look, blessing of God is not by location. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your life is supposed to be georeference to better. Where's Dr. Pokola? Samuel Pokola, are you here? Are you here? Now, come here quickly. Give me microphone. I said something and I want to explain it a bit. I will say a few times we're going to pray. Your life must be georeference to better. Better is expected to be our georeference. I want to use an explanation for my discipline. And you are defending your PhD once again now. And if you fail, I give you 60 seconds. That will not waste my time training you at postgraduate level. Can you explain 60 second meaning of georeference?
Georeferencing is the process by which you tie an unknown map or a location to its actual location where it's supposed to be on the surface of the earth. We have features on the surface of the earth, and in their representation, they might just be visible to you, but the reference is now when you take it from where it is and you put it in the actual exact location where it's supposed to be.
You are now justified the investment of training you. Otherwise, I would say, you see, when you talk of georeference, our life, things, everything in the physical is first of all made in the spiritual. Do you agree with me? It is what's in the spiritual that is brought to the physical. And when you draw a map, like we were saying, if you want to draw the map of this building now, you want it to relate to what's on ground. But before he can be able to represent what's on ground, where can give adequate representation, it must be tied to what's called a georeference, which is what ties the image to reality. So there must be a georeference. See, God has proposed so many for us, but we need to be georeference to better so that it can then appear in reality. But you see, many people, because they are not georeference to better, even though God plans those things, it will just be like a mirage. And they are just floating. What is missing is georeferencing to better. Tell somebody, be georeferenced to better. Tell another person, be georeferenced to better. Please go and check the meaning of it, that georeferencing again. Our life is expected to be georeferenced to better because God wants us to be in perpetual communion with Him. When you georeference your life to better, the spiritual plan He has made for you will begin to manifest in reality, and then your dream shall be fulfilled. And please, I want to say something. Last Sunday, about 2 Sundays, I was talking about, is it the singer or memorial? As you are about leaving now, Fanaya, brethren, remember, there are times, even whether in Yellow House, in White House, on any house, or in your department, you face challenges. God has come true for you. True of us. Please keep this in mind. And whenever you come across challenges in life, tell God, you God that deliver me from this situation, you can still do that. And make 3 commitments today. And keep it in mind. Number one is to personalize God like Jacob did. Number two is to make a commitment to fellowship that wherever you go, prefer myself, I will not give an excuse for not being in fellowship. And number three, I will live a lifestyle of giving. Don't forget that God always wants, see, why do you need to do this thing? And every time you need to renew this in the presence of God, in your own birthday. It's not just about a particular location. And you know why God kept on referring Jacob again and again to Bethel? No, our human memory is very, very short. Many of us, we only remember what's happening now. After a while, you forget. I pray you not forget God. I pray you not forget fellowship. And I pray you not forget Cedar. Because whether you like it or not, Cedar has had impact in your life. Don't forget it. Get connected. Be rooted in bed. No, God says something that when each time I read it, no, I feel somehow. And I'm going to just go read that verse and say one time, then we're going to pray now because of my time. If you look at Judges chapter 2, verse 20, I ask myself, how did this happen? So Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Sorry. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Can you please quickly? I don't have time. Look at this. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know God, nor the works which he had done for them. How did that happen? How did that happen? A time came in the land of Israel, the people of God, people of promise, people of covenants. There was nobody again that knew God or the work that God had done for them. This is a sad commentary. This is a pathetic testimony. Can you read it again? There arose a generation who did not know God, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Abba. See, if you don't allow wind of life to blow you out of the experience of God, why you need to be rooted in better is to keep fanning the memory of God, the testimony of God, the works of God, to begin to remind yourself the goodness or the faithfulness of God. Otherwise, the memory, the experience, the contact, and then the encounter will begin to dwindle and begin to wane. Before you know it, you just mingle with the world. That will not be your testimony. A time arose, a time came, that in the whole land of Israel, everywhere, no single one knew God. And remember the encounter of the Red Sea. They can't get the encounter of the city of Jericho. They can't get the encounter of the wilderness. So many things. How could people just forget that? And the whole land, nobody could remember again. Why? They were not geo-referenced to Bethel. They were not rooted to Bethel. This shall not be your testimony. This shall not be your case. Be rooted in better. Remember God all this life. I also pray a time will come that some of you will not even remember there's any place called Cedar again. Because anywhere you are, always remember your trajectory. Always remember your pathway. Always remember how God has taken you. And finally, I told you 3 things that you do. Can you tell me those 3 commitments again before I round up now? Number 3.
So the tripod of your life, as you go, three things that your life will stand on. Number one is hard work. Please, God does not, because he wants to bless you, condone laziness, does not condone carelessness, does not condone people without passion, does not condone people without push, does not condone people without ambition. It should be hard work. It should be hard working. Number two, you must come to serve. And number three, remember connecting to better. Finally, you read this 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 17 and we're going to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 17 and we're going to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Remember, I've shared this passage with you. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he joined Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Prophet Samuel went, he would always go back to Ramah, to where he built an altar. Make an altar for the Lord. A personal altar unto God. That anytime, every time, whatever happens, you go back to that altar and hold God and hold him with this covenant, with this commitment you are making today. It's an altar, you need to service it. Without an altar, there's no better. Are you listening to me? There's no better without altar. But I see you going places. I see the Lord opening doors for you. I see you making waves. And I see the Lord answering your prayers. I see the Lord prospering you. I see the Lord opening you. Stand on your feet and let us pray. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives,
all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he owns my future. My life is worth a living just because he lives. All face tomorrow.
I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives. All fear is gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Because I know. Hey, he owns my view.
My life is worth.
Hey, I'm living just because he lives. Oh, our Savior lives. Oh, because he lives. All of you is gone. Because I know. He owns my life is worth. Hey. Oh, because he lives.
Now listen to me. What are your personal fears? I'm not only talking to the family I bring, but every one of us. I want to give an opportunity 1 minute now. Speak to God about these personal fears. Be sincere with God. we are in the presence of God. We are actually in Bethel. And God wants to deal with those fears this morning. God wants to attend to those issues this morning. God wants to use the opportunity of these moments to reach out unto you. Even if you are online, speak to God about those fears now, and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm trusting God to reach out unto you. Whether you are here or you are online, what are your fears? God is here to take it away. Lift up your right hand unto the Lord. And if you're online, do the same thing. My Heavenly Father, you are God without variableness nor shadow of turning. You are the one that say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord, your people this morning, they have confessed their fear, their torment, their contention, their trepidation unto you. My Lord, this morning, I ask by your power, by your mercy, take away these fears. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you are the one that knows what you need to do to change the situation of their lives. My Father and my God, Jacob had fears, but when you came across to him, this changed around. Lord, I pray this morning, whatever you need to do to change the situation of this your people this morning, Lord, send your angels from heaven to minister unto your people right now, this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. You that pulled down the wall of Jericho, whatever is standing as mountains for these people this morning, Lord, let those mountains crumble by the power of the Almighty. In the mighty name of Jesus, breathe into their lives afresh. Breathe into their lives afresh. Breathe into their life afresh. In the mighty name of Jesus. I know we are going to pray for final bread, but I just have the urge to pray for you now, even now. All the final bread, just come here. All the final year, brethren. Give the mic, because give the microphone to any member of the choir. He will never let me fall. He will never let me fall. He's never weary, and he will never let me fall. He will never let me fall.
He will never let me fall. He's never weary. He will never let me fall.
Take that song three times, one more.
He will never let me fall. He will never let me fall. He's never weary. He will never let me fall. He will never let me fall. He will never let me fall. He's never weary, and he will never let me fall. He will never let me fall. He will never let me fall.
He will never let me fall. Randa Sata Resete Niba Skapa Pa 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 Yarima Skapa Reseke Pondolo Reseke Popopo Ista Pasha Dalaba Randa Kaska Pola Basha Dalaba.
He's never weary and he will never let me fall.
Father, you are able to keep those that are committed unto your hands. Lord, behold, these your children. I commit them unto your hands today. My Lord and my God, as they are about to go into the larger society, as they are about to go into the real world, Lord, keep them. In the mighty name of Jesus, the hyenas of this world will not feast on them. My Lord and my God, the enemies will not prey upon their destinies. My Father and my God, I bring them under their divine insurance of the Holy Spirit. Their destiny will be ensured by the host of heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. If there's any of them that's not standing right, Lord, confess such a one this morning and cause such a one, Lord, to amend his or her way with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, do not allow the enemy to hold any offense and any accusation against this one. In the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord and my God, this one will shine. My Lord, my God, this one will shine. My Lord, my God, this one will shine. Physically, they will shine. Spiritually, they will shine. Financially, they will shine. Materially, they will shine. In the mighty name of Jesus, their seat among the princes. Their seat among the princes. You will lift them higher above the challenges of the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, they will not forget you. They will be committed to fellowship. They will not even forget the church. Father, thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. God bless you.